Good to be in God's presence, isn't it? Hey, guess what? You're in His presence every day. I didn't know if you knew that or not. Somebody would have said amen. I don't know. Okay, so y'all are going to have to get a little more boisterous than this. It's okay. I don't mind. I'm trying to decide if I need glasses or not. Yeah, I do. I can't read this if I don't. So, how are y'all doing today? It's been a while since I've been able to do this, and it's always a privilege and an honor. And I did want to say thank you so much for allowing me the privilege to come every Sunday and worship with you. Y'all have been amazing and wonderful, and to be with you since back, well, I guess it's been, I don't even know how long now, but it's been a year, 2 years almost. And to come from where we've been, you've been, and I've been with you some of that, to see where we're going. I'm very excited. I love Matt to death, and I just want to give him props this morning. He's doing an amazing job. Not an easy job, okay? Not an easy job for what he came into and what y'all have been through as a body, to be able to come into that and to feel y'all's the love that you were giving him, and then to hear him give it back and feel him give it back and see him pastor. He's really doing an amazing job, and have the utmost love and respect for him. And we had the chance a few weeks ago to teach together for a state conference, do a couple breakout sessions, and I just really enjoyed our time together. So it's been really good. But I did want to say thank you this morning so much for receiving me as you have, and I'm excited about where God's got you going. I'm excited about where God's got us going. Okay, I'll take that back. God's got us going. Do you know? Do you have any idea where He's got you going? It's going to be great. Yeah, we can't always see all the way down the road, can we? We can't see the whole picture. We can't see the whole parade like God does. He sees everything from, you know, beginning of time to the end of time. He knows it all. But as we follow Him and look to Him and keep our eyes on Him, keep our eyes focused on the face of grace, man, He directs our path. He gives us direction. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about this morning. I want to talk to you a little bit about the word go. It's a real simple one. I think we could probably all spell it. But it's a real simple word. It's the word go. And we're going to look at some passage this morning. Starting in Matthew is going to be our text that we're going to jump off of. And then we're going to swing back over into Genesis, which is interesting. But I always really like when I get the opportunity to preach or teach, any way I can really tie the New Testament in with the Old Testament and combine them and show how one reinforces the other and works in tandem with each other. Because it's so easy sometimes to look at the Old Testament and go, well, that's the Old Covenant, that's the old part of the Scripture. We need to focus on the New Testament. Yeah, there's a lot we need to focus on the Old Testament either. It's equally inspired. It is equally given by God to us. Okay, to learn from and live through. And boy, there's so much wisdom and so much to be gained by reading the Old Testament. But if you would, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Matthew 28, 16 through 20. And I'm waiting for mine here to boot up. Where'd you go? There you go. Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. And now this is going to be probably a familiar passage to most of you here. I hope it is. If it isn't, then you haven't been in a Baptist church very, very, very long, because this is kind of like, this is it. If you're in a Baptist church, and hopefully if you're in any, have ever been in any type of evangelical church, this passage is central. This passage is it. This is the mission. So, this is the Great Commission, as my Bible says. I'm reading from the ESV. Good, we got the same thing up there. But this is Jesus. He's about to depart. He's been crucified. He's risen from the dead. He's appeared to many people, appeared to his disciples. And here he is. He's about to depart and to go back to heaven and leave this earth and leave his disciples and all his believers behind. And here's what he has to say. He says, now, in verse 16 starting, he says, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Okay, I just got to say, can you imagine doubting at that point? I mean, thinking about what just happened, what just occurred. Jesus died, but wait a minute, there he is. So how could they possibly have any doubt? But some doubt, and you know, we're the same way. God works in our life. God moves in our lives. We can look back on years and moments where Christ has moved in our life. But then we hit this brick wall. We hit this circumstance, and we go, oh, man, I don't know how we're going to make it. I don't know how we're going to get through. God, are you even there? Is anybody with me? Y'all got that this morning? Everybody ever been there? I mean, I don't know. I've been there probably like yesterday. I don't know. No, maybe 2 days ago. It wasn't yesterday. I had a good day yesterday. Pumpkin chunking. You can't miss that. Can't doubt that. I saw it with my own eyes. But yeah, we have the same issues, okay? So even though these people had spent this time, these disciples had spent one-on-one walking, living with Christ through everything he went through on this earth, they still doubted. So don't feel so bad sometimes, okay? Just understand it's human. It's natural. But Christ came to take away that doubt. So Jesus came and he said to them, verse 18, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Everything. All authority. I'm the man. I'm it. I'm the Lord. I am God. I am everything that you have read about in all of the scripture. I am that. And all of that is subject to me. Everything that happens is under my authority because I have been given all authority. Jesus just laying it out here. And then he says in verse 19, go therefore, okay, and this isn't a wish, this isn't a suggestion, this is a command. This is a command that he gives us. And it's almost like, not just go now, but as you're going, as you are moving around, as you are moving through the workplace, as you are moving through your communities, as you are going out to the surrounding area and the state and the region and the nations, as you go, I'm commanding you to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. I love that right there. God's like, you know what? As you go, no matter where you go, no matter what you encounter, I'm going to be with you. Now, we're going to focus in on that word go, but we could get stuck here all day, okay? This is like 10, 20 messages all in this passage here, but we're not going to get stuck there. But I do want to remind you that evangelism, going out and just reaching people and getting them to make a decision is not where it stops. That is not where our responsibility as a church stops. Our responsibility is to go bring them to Christ, show them somehow in a way that the Spirit can use us to bring them to Christ. But then our job, and he says it right here, he didn't say, go therefore and evangelize all the nations, although that's part of it. His command was go and make disciples. Doing evangelism without discipleship is like giving birth to a baby and leaving it on the side of the road. Now, that's a drastic thought, isn't it? But that's what it is. And our churches are full of people who have been birthed into the kingdom, but there's never been any discipleship. There's never been any training. There's never been any teaching. There's never been, hey, come along with me, because this is what discipleship really is. It's when you go to somebody and you say, you know what? I've been down the road a ways on this Christian journey, and I want to show you what God has taught me. I want to come alongside you, and I want you to learn from me, and I want to walk you through this journey we call Christian life. And I want you to see the ups and downs. I want you to see the good and the bad. I want you to see Christ in me. I want you to see the faithfulness of God. I'm going to tell you how he's been faithful, but I want you to experience it for yourself. And I'm going to come alongside of you arm in arm and walk you through it. That is what discipleship is. It's more than just sitting in a Sunday school class every Sunday. That's good stuff. It's more than sitting in a life group every Sunday. That's good stuff. It's good we need to do that. But discipleship is personal. It's saying, I want to go through this with you. I'm going to help you through this. I'm going to walk with you. You know, Jesus had how many when he was here on this earth, disciples that followed him? It's not your question. 12, okay. And one of those did what? Betrayed him. So how many do you think we can do? I don't know. I don't know what that number is. But God has called us to disciple, okay, to go tell others about him, but disciple. And that is, I believe, if we look down the road, and if I know Pastor Matt, I would say that is a big part of where we're going as a church. And I know some of you've been there probably a lot in the past, and you've done different things, but I'm telling you, if I know his heart, and I know his heart is what God's heart is, and God's heart is for us to go and make disciples, to go, not sit, but to go. That's pretty strong. I know that's coming out pretty strong. And it's probably telling you something that you don't already know. And I'm telling you this, or part of this is coming from a heart, my own heart. And I'll just share with you briefly kind of why. I've been at Bambi for about 2.5 years now. And we've accomplished a lot, okay? God has really blessed us. He's allowed us to accomplish a lot of things, from, you know, improving our service to bringing on good staff, and to serving good food, which is my favorite thing. Just all kinds of stuff, you know, make our buildings look better. We've been doing all kinds of great stuff. But over the last 2 months, God's really been working on my heart, saying there's more, you know, and because I don't like to sit around. If I'm leading something or part of something, I want to grow. I want to continue. I want to build. I'm kind of a builder. That's what I do. That's what God's brought into my life. And so I'm sitting at Bam and Pay because we've accomplished a lot of things, God. What's next? You know. And so just kind of waiting, praying, just thinking on that every day. And over the last 2 months, God's really impressed on me that our success as a camp is directly tied to our influence in our community. And I don't mean Southern Baptist churches all over the state. I mean our community. We are 3 miles outside of the center of Roscommon, the town of Roscommon. It's not a big town, it's a small town. But Bambi Lake has been there for 50, almost 60 years possibly. And when I came here, I could go into Roscommon and people did not know who we were. People did not know what Bambi Lake was. At best, they would say, yeah, I drove by there, I saw signs, but I don't know what that is. At worst, Bob the Butcher said he had heard we were a nudist colony. I said, I haven't tried that yet. But that's what he said when I went and met Bob the Butcher. That's what he told me. He said, man, I've heard about you guys. You're like a nudist colony out there. I'm like, really? That's the part of the history of Bambi we have not even seen. Anyway, okay. People did not know who we were. Bambi has been this little secret, okay, this little enclave for Christian folks to come to and have a good time. And yeah, God has blessed, and there's been a lot of decisions, and lives have been changed there. But that's at best all it's ever been. And God's telling me, saying, look, that is not good enough. I have put you here for a reason. This camp is here for a reason. And that reason is to bring redemption to this community. And then from there, out. Okay? And as I've dove into that, because it was so much, so clear to me that that's what God's saying, it's amazing how God is starting to open doors. We're reaching groups that we've never reached before. High schools. We have the MSU Extension 4-H group coming. They're using us in a couple weeks. They're also coming and doing their camp with us. So we get to meet with them and talk with them and say, you know, this is who we are and this is what we believe. And that's amazing. That's God. That's God when you start to obey. That's God when you say, you know what, I'm willing to go. And so this morning really... it's just coming out of something that I'm seriously working through as, you know, the director of this camp, this organization, this, you know, $500,000 budget thing that we do, saying, God, what do we do as an organization? How can we reflect you? And that's what he's saying, go. So we have to go. So we're going to jump from there, jump off on that with that thought in our heads, and I want to take us over to Genesis. Genesis chapter 8, and you're thinking, this is interesting. Genesis chapter 8, going to be another somewhat familiar story, I believe, or occurrence. I don't like call them stories. Sometimes you say story and people think of fairy tale. This was not fairy tale. This is real stuff. And this is the account of Noah and the ark. Or I like to call it Noah and the lifeboat. You know, some people debate the authenticity of this account, even though evangelicals debate this, even though it has been proven time and time again that the ark existed, that Noah existed, that this some kind of cataclysmic, you know, event happened. And you can look at the sediment layers and the geological data, something, you know, incredibly apocalyptic happened. Not even the Avengers could handle it, okay? I'm just telling you, for any nerds out there. Anyway. But also, God's word is not a menu of choices. Or it's not like a spiritual Instagram or Facebook where you can go on and pick and choose what you like or what you don't like. God's word is all or nothing, okay? You either take all of it or you take none of it, because let me tell you, this is how I like to describe it. It's like the chicken rib barbecue church potluck. It's like dinner on the grounds. It's like pecan pie for dessert. It's yummy. It's a yummy feast, and it's all good. All good. God's word, it's all. I know when I go to any of those events at church, I don't have enough plates. You need a plate for dessert, you need a plate for the meat, you need a plate for the dessert, you know. That should be our attitude when we come to God's word. You can't pick and choose. It's all there for us. You believe it all or nothing. So that's just my little thing for Noah and the lifeboat. So let's go ahead and read this. Genesis chapter 6, starting in starting in verse 5, and this is not going to sound too unlike our current culture. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. Can you imagine that? Something that you created has now turned against you, and it to the point where it grieves you so much. God says, man, I can't deal with this. I got to get rid of him. I got to do away with it. So the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I have made them. And then verse 8, I love this verse. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And in verse 9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. And then Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now you realize he had his firstborn at the age of 500. What? Yeah, his firstborn, age of 500. And here he was, a righteous man, someone who walked with God. I'm thinking, holy cow, I can't hardly walk with God for like a day. And he's been doing it 500 years, and then he has kids. And you know, when you have kids, sometimes you don't want to walk with God a few days because you've done beat your kids too many times. They make you not want to walk with God because you have been ugly, because they make you ugly. Noah was a man who was righteous, blameless in his generation, and Noah walked with God. Oh, that could be said of us, right? That when we pass, that on our tombstone it would say, John walked with God. Mick walked with God. Moose walked with God. That's all I care to have on my tombstone. That's all that matters, right? That's all that matters. Now the earth was corrupt, verse 11, in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence, and God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on earth. And God said to Noah, I have determined, and here we're going to see him lay out the ark for him, to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And so he goes through and he tells Noah to build the ark. I'm not going to read all that, but let's skip down to verse 22, because this is the kicker for the whole thing right here. Verse 22, after God has given him all these instructions, you imagine being told to build something that you never knew could exist, okay? Being told that there's going to be rain, which you've never seen rain. Earth really hadn't had rain at that point. God's telling you all these things, and you're like, okay. But Noah took it in because he was a man who walked with God. He was a man who, no matter what happened, what God told him, he was willing to believe it and walk in faith and obedience with it. That's not so easy, is it? I'd like to say I did that all the time, but every time God's told me to do something, I have to say, I've not always said, okay, God, that's what I'll do. You're right, let's go. Go share with your neighbor over there. Oh, God, it's, you know, they're busy, you know. They just pulled in, they shut the garage door. They don't want to see me. Or whatever it is. Yes. But Noah was not that person. Even though God was blowing his mind, he was still willing to do it. Have you had your mind blown by God lately? Has God done something in your life lately that you just go, wow? I hope so. Because he's a God that blows mind. He's not limited to what we can imagine, what we can think. He goes outside of space and time and he says, you know what? I love you so much. I'm just going to pour myself out on you. And I'm going to bless you. You don't deserve it, but I'm going to do it anyway. Ooh, wow, God. So amazing. So he finishes giving all these instructions to Noah, and he Noah goes, and then verse 22, the kicker for the whole thing, says, Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him. He did all that God commanded him. Wow. Y'all tracking with that? He did all that God commanded him. Can I look in the mirror and say the same thing? Oh, I know I can't. But I'm going to tell you something. I want to. I want to. Do you want to this morning? Is that your heart's desire? You see, God said, go. And what did Noah do? He said, okay, I'll go. I don't get it, God, but you know what? I'm going to do it. First point I want to bring up, and I've got three, and we'll get through these really quick this morning, is go equals you. Go equals you. This is a personal command. Noah didn't say, hey, you know what? George down the street, he's got more tools than I do. Let him build the ark, God. You know, he's got a degree. He knows what he's doing. He can understand what you're saying. I don't get it, but you know, let George do it. Noah said, no, I'm going to do it. Whatever you say, God, I'm going to obey and I'm going to follow through. Because God told him. And each one of us today, God is telling us, go. You can't pawn it off on someone else. You can't say, well, I'm going to wait till the church comes and visits this person, or I'm going to wait till so-and-so, you know, till I get the schooling, or until, you know, I feel like I'm worthy or I'm perfect. Or no, God says go. Go in your workplace. Go. Go be his hands and feet. You see, here's the deal. I almost feel like the church isn't a lifeboat anymore. We've become more like a really nice cruise ship. We've become like, hey, let's, you know, we got to make this really feel good for everybody, and we got to, you know, have nice place and have some, you know, some good entertainment. We got to, you know, make sure everybody laughs a lot and get on this cruise. Come on. Come on this cruise with us. Now, I'm not saying that we're like that, but I'm saying the church, I see that in the church in general a lot. And I feel like we have become more of a cruise ship than we are a lifeboat. You see, God said, no, I want you to build this ark, and then I want you to get on it. I want you to take living thing, you know, male and female of each living thing, and get them on the ark. Why? Because the ark was salvation. The ark was a place where they would be saved, where they would go through the water, they would survive. And God said, look, this is my way of salvation for you. Get on the lifeboat. And God gave opportunity to everybody who was around who would listen, the opportunity to get on that lifeboat. But what happened? They called Noah crazy, didn't they? Thought he was nuts. You know, how could you do something like this? You know, people thought he'd lost his mind, I'm sure. You know, we could go for a little crazy in church. I'm just saying. Some of y'all are like, I'm already there. This guy preaching, he's already there. Yeah, we could go for a little crazy. We could go for a little unexpected. We could go for a little bit. You know, God, whatever you want to do today, I'm all in. Let's go. We become so logical in our thought process that we are so smart and we can Google everything and get an answer just like that, that we have forgotten that God is a God who is supernatural. He's above all that. And sometimes we just need to say, God, I'm ready. Let's go. Instead of, God, let me Google that real. Should I go? Noah didn't do that. He said, okay, I'm going to go. And then I'm going to take as many people as will get on that lifeboat. You see, the ark was used for saving and sending. You see, they got on the ark at a specified time when God told them to. They went through the flood, through the cataclysmic event. God delivered them, and then he brought the ark to rest. And what happened when that rested? Did they stay on the ark and say, hey, this is really nice. Let's just hang out here. This is a good place, man. We can get 20,000 channels of TV and watch everything we want right here. We can even look at the weather and see what's going on out there. Heck, we can pull up 300 churches and watch them on Sunday morning. Let's just stay here. No, what happened when the ark, what happened? God opened the door and sent them out. To do what? To be fruitful and multiply. To go forth. Man, that's us, folks. We're not supposed to sit on the lifeboat and be comfortable. We are to come be in the lifeboat and then go out and be sent out. We are to go. Are y'all getting the theme here this morning at all? G-O, go. But we've gotten really comfortable, I think, a lot of times in our lifeboat. And like I said, I think it's become more like a cruise ship. But let me tell you something. The ark is a picture of sin and judgment. The ark is a picture of judgment and grace. The ark is a picture of obedience and blessing. It's a picture of faith and deliverance, of love and mercy, lostness and salvation. It's a picture of the gospel. It's a picture of the way, the truth, the life. It's a picture of Jesus. And that's what he's called us to be, pictures of his grace, pictures of him to the lost world out there. To go. Yeah. It was definitely sin and judgment. But I'm so thankful for that grace. See, God made a way. Not everybody chooses it, but he made a way. And he's called us to go out, to go and tell people, look, God's made a way for you. He's called us to go. So go is for you. It's for me. It's personal. It's not optional. It is a command that he has given us. Go also equals obedience and faith. When we go, we're being obedient. And we're stepping out in faith. Sometimes two of the hardest things to do, right? A lot of us in here have had children. Kids, when they pop out of the womb, they just immediately say, yes, mommy, yes, daddy, whatever you want me to do, right? Yeah, okay. So you didn't have that experience? No, they have to be trained. They have to be shown the right way. They have to be reared. I love that word. according to God's precepts, according to his truth. We're the same way. We have to learn. We have to exercise that. We have to step out and go in obedience and faith and trust that no matter what God has told us to do, just like Noah, no matter how crazy it is, God is going to be there. Because here's the deal. When we step out in obedience and faith, the third thing is go equals supernatural. When we are willing to step out in obedience and faith, God's supernatural power and providence is going to meet us on that first step, I'm telling you. Blessings come when there is a collaboration of God's word and our obedience. When we read his word, when we hear his word and we obey it, his blessing and our obedience go together and he blesses that. You see, sometimes we spend our lives going, man, why isn't God watching after me? You know what? It just doesn't seem like God's doing anything in my life. I've had multiple counseling sessions like that. People say, I just don't think God's real. I don't think God cares about me. And I'll say, well, are you doing this? You know that he told you to do this. Are you doing that? No. Are you still living this lifestyle and not pursuing the one God's called you? Yeah. Okay, well, let me just kind of clue you in on something here. Your obedience is what God's asking for. You want his blessing, but you don't want to give him your obedience. You're too fearful. You're too scared to let go, or whatever it is feels too good. It's too comfortable. You don't want to let go. You're not willing to obey and step out in that faith. And then you wonder why God isn't moving. You see, all across America, churches are dying. I don't know what statistics are, but every week it's an unheard of amount. You would be surprised. You can look it up, Google it. Churches are dying. Why? Because they are not being obedient to the call of Christ to step out and be faithful and trust in him and go. That's why. I promise you that's why. I've never been a part of a church that was consumed and passionate about going and reaching lost people outside these walls that failed. Ever. Never seen a church fail that was passionate about God's heart. And God has a heart for lost people. Just like he had a heart for you when he called you, when he found you. You see, when we follow the way, a way is made where there is no way. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You see, sometimes we get so caught up with the search. I can't see. I don't know what's going on. You know what? It's not your job to know everything. It's your job to follow the way so that you can be revealed what the way is, so that God can direct you in the steps of the way. We always want to know. I want to know the way. Well, get to know the way. And I promise you, the way will show itself. And you might even have some life and learn some truth and all that too. Because you said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We got to get up off our bottoms and go. That might be a little more succinct way to say it. When the feet move, the bottom follows. That's just a natural thing there, isn't it? You ever said that to your kids? I told you to move. Get off your bottom. Yeah, funny thing, when my feet move, my patootie goes wherever they go. But when we go, God supernaturally meets us. Let's look at some examples here. Obviously, Noah in the lifeboat. Noah obeyed. What happened? God delivered them. God met them. I don't know how they built the ark. I was a little bit of study on this and finding that it was probably a 55 to 75 year process to build the ark. Holy cow. Like I said, I can't hardly be obedient for 2 days, much less 55, 75 years singularly focused on one thing that God has called me to do. Wow. That's a long time to wake up every day knowing this is crazy, but I'm going to do it anyways. You know, day 368, this is crazy, but I'm going to do it anyways. Day 541, this is crazy, but I'm going to do it anyways. Day 1000, gosh, this is crazy. I'm going to do it anyways. Man, that we would have that kind of faith and obedience. He woke up every day not worried about the task. He was worried about the go. He knew he had to go. And whatever comes today, God's going to provide. God will take care of it. Moses in the Red Sea. God told him to what? Raise his hands, right? He said, no, no, I got a problem with raising my hands, God. I can't do that. You know, lift your staff. I'm going to look so stupid standing up here on this mountain with my hands up raised, really? Makes a good photo op, you know. But he didn't question. He said, okay, God. And so what did he do? He did, and what happened? The waters parted. Deliverance was given. Abraham and Isaac, one of my favorite stories. God said, I want you to take Isaac. I want you to sacrifice him. Abraham and Isaac, they go up on the mountain. Abraham takes Isaac, puts him on the altar. I don't know. Man, I don't know how he even got to that point. I don't know that I could. But he did. And at the moment of sacrificing his son, what happened? God provided a way, didn't he? He provided a substitute, which we all know when we look now, we go, that was Christ. That was a picture of Christ. Joshua and Jericho, march around those walls, Joshua. You know, you got to do it however many times, seven times. Really? That's a new war strategy. I've never thought about that one. So like if we just walk around these walls at some point and we're going to yell real loud, these walls just, yeah, okay, yeah. I mean, I can see him explaining that to his generals. Joshua, you've kind of lost it. What happened? Joshua said, you know what? I don't care how crazy this seems. Yes, God, you told me to do it. I'm going to go and I'm going to do it. And what happened? Walls fell down flat. Deliverance. Are y'all picking up a theme here? Israelites crossing the Jordan, when they were crossing the Jordan to step into the promised land like God had told them to do so, and they were hesitant at first until the spies came back and said, gave the report, which we only know two of them gave a good report, but they went to step into the promised land and they were supposed to cross the Jordan. And what happened when they did that? That water didn't walk across on dry ground until they stepped out. Till that first foot went out. And all of a sudden, boom. God said, okay, here's some dry land. Why don't you go across? God made a way. Oh, David and Goliath. What a story. What an occurrence. What? Little kid going out against, I mean, that doesn't make sense, does it? But yet God said, hey, I'm the God who delivers. David said, I trust you, God. I know you've got my back. I don't need this armor. Just give him to me. Let me get out there after him. Picks up stones, goes out, whoom, down goes Goliath. Daniel in the lion's den, another way. Nehemiah and the wall, crazy. Shouldn't have happened. Joseph and Mary, you know, that never should have happened. A virgin birth, really? But they both believed and obeyed, and what happened? The Son of God was born through Mary. Jesus at the wedding feast. What? Water into wine? Go fill these with water? Really? And you're going to give us... We ran out of wine. We didn't run out of water. We ran out of wine. But they obeyed, and God said, okay. And he delivered. Peter stepping on the water. Jesus said, come. Peter's the only one who said, okay, I'm out of here. I'm on the water. Woo! He didn't care about the water. All he cared was that Jesus said, come. He said, I'm going to go. He walked on water. Paul and Silas, they didn't care about the chains around their wrists. They cared about the praise coming off their lips. They cared about the God who was with them, and they knew it no matter what. He was with them. He had their back. And what did they do? They worshiped, and what happened? Chains fell off, prison doors opened. They walked out free because they were willing to go. See, I'm just telling you, when we are willing to obey and step out in faith, the supernatural happens. We have got to get to the point where we quit thinking so logically about our faith. Yes, it's a logical faith, and yes, it can be proven, but there's a supernatural component where we just have to trust God sometimes that he's going to take care of things. We've seen it happen. Let's apply it. Let's take that in our heart and live each day knowing, God, I don't know what today is going to bring, but I know you got supernatural power that's got my back, so you know what? Whatever you say, I am going. Because you've called me to go. And because of that, I know you're going to provide. Supernaturally. So God's called us to go. God's called us to go in obedience and faith. And he's called us to go, and he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I will be with you always. Through the good, through the bad, I am with you. I will provide. Are you willing to go? Are you willing to go when everything looks bleak and it looks dark and you don't understand? Are you still willing to go? God's calling this church to go. There's a new construction going across the street, right? Are we going to go? We got no choice. God's told us to. We got to go. Community all around us, we have to go. And y'all have been doing some of that, and it's exciting to see this, see us getting involved in doing this. But we have to. How about in your own personal life, in your daily, people you encounter, are you going? Are you letting God, are you expecting God to show up at your work? Are you expecting God to show up in situations that seem like there's no way, God, this can work out? But you know, with you, all things are possible. And you know what? You told me to go, so I'm going to go. I'm going to go. I hope I'm not wearing this theme out. I fear if I say it about 500 times, you'll remember it when you walk out the door. Got to go. We must go. I'm going to close with this. We've got to go. Why? Judgment is coming. Go. But Jesus is coming. We got to go. Sin is death. We got to go. But forgiveness is life. We got to go. Hell is real. We got to go tell people. Satan devours. We got to go. Heaven is real. We got to go. Jesus saves. We got to go. Hatred destroys. We got to go. But love heals. We got to go. The harvest is plentiful, folks. We have to go. Jesus said the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. We got to go. We have to go. That's our command. That's our mandate. That's our mission. And like Noah, even though we may not understand it, even though it may seem crazy, even though it defies the very fabric of our brain and any thoughts we ever had or would have or will have, we have to go, God said it. That's all I need to know. So I'm going to go. That's what matters. Not what the world thinks, not what everybody else tells us, but that God said it. We got to go. Say it with me. We gotta go. And we gotta go get in line at the cafeteria. No, I'm just kidding. We gotta go. Would you pray with me this morning? And I would like to open up the altar this morning. It's always open. But with this thought in mind, are you willing to go? You see, obedience requires surrender. Faith requires stepping out. Are you there this morning? Or is there something that's hindering you from that small little word, go? Is it fear? Is it unbelief? Whatever it is that's keeping you from the go, I beg you this morning, either there in your seat or come to the altar and just say, God, I take away this because I want to go. My heart. Maybe you don't know Christ at all. Maybe you've never had a salvation experience where you've come to know God personally. If that's you this morning, you need to go. You need to find him this morning because he's there for you. Christ wants to save you. He wants to give you a life. He wants to give you purpose. He wants to give you a go. You can't do it on your own. So this morning, as we sing just a little bit of the song, maybe spend some time at the altar, spend some time with your significant other or whoever, and just get honest with God and say, God, I want to go. Forgive me for not going. Take away the fear. Take away whatever my excuses is. God, I lay that down at your feet this morning because I want to go.